Now that the Green Bay Packers season is officially over, the only thing they can do is prepare for the future. That happened this week when General Manager Ted Thompson and his staff were at the site of the nation's premier college all-star game at the Senior Bowl. We'll get the word from Pigskin Paul Guillemette, stationed in Mobile, Alabama, right here on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Stone, along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We're not getting ready for any games this week. Unfortunately, they're all over, but we are taking a look to the future. We have joining us for a second week in a row, checking out the college all-star game circuit, Pigskin Paul Guillemette of the GBN Great Blue North Draft Report at gbnreport.com. Paul, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. I get one day to try to catch up a little bit here on some sleep and some paperwork, and then go to what I consider to be an important part of this process, despite what some people say, and that is the game itself.
Yeah, that usually the scouts don't stay for them, but they do watch them on film, am I right?
That is correct. They will get, every team in the NFL will get a copy of every practice down here and the game from the Senior Bowl within a week of the game.
Yeah. Paul, just as a point of reference from last week, I could point out that you were off in your prediction last week. You didn't think the Packers stood a chance. I don't have much of a heart to dwell on this loss, however, but were you surprised the Packers made it as much of a game as they did?
I was, but I think clearly in my mind, the thing that I could not have had anticipated, I don't think anybody else could either, was that Russell Wilson would look so, I won't even say ordinary, would look so bad in the first half of that game. I mean, that was a Matt Flynn type performance in the first half of that game by Russell Wilson, and a little bit of carryover into the second half, which I'm sure this was the same emotion as up in Green Bay. It's a moral victory of sorts, I guess, to keep it close, but given how poorly the Seahawks played for much of that game, I'm sure most Packer fans find it very disappointing that the Packers chose to implode late in the game and give it back to Seattle.
Yeah, that's an understatement. I can't even bear to discuss and break down this game anymore. So there's no choice but to look to the future. And the Packers did so this week with General Manager Ted Thompson and his staff in Mobile. Once again, can you share anything on Thompson or what the Packers were doing this week? Any particular attention on a position group or anything at all that stood out to you from a Packers perspective?
Not specifically of that nature, but I will say something that stuck out to me overall.
Okay.
If you recall, we've been doing this for a while, and I've been doing it for even longer than you and I have done it together. this was my 17th year in a row at the Senior Bowl. And all that means is I'm getting old, folks. And if you'll recall, I've mentioned many times, and you folks have seen it, that watched NFL Network's coverage of the event. NFL teams are not hard to identify with their personnel and scouting people down here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not garish garb, but most everyone has some company-issued clothing, so to speak. I think NFL Properties likes to see that going on. And I thought it was quite interesting that the Packers were amongst the most dressed down when it came to identifying logos of any team in the league. And there were some others like, gee, would it surprise you if I told you the Patriots don't run around with a lot of blue and red streaming everywhere, but not to make a big deal out of it. But my point is, I don't think it's a coincidence, to be honest with you. I think Ted, somewhere in the last few years, decided that there was no reason to stand out as an organization at these kinds of events, so that people can indeed track who you're talking to and who you're eyeballing. And yesterday was the perfect example of it. I know the Packers still had people on the ground, but the only guy that I could pick out, and it's only because of his significance and the fact that he does stand out because, you know, he's whitey and the white hair and the whole bit. But Ted Thompson, who was prominent at the practices, if you knew who he was dressed in black-colored athletic shoes of some nature, blue jeans, and then a black jacket with a black cap, neither of which had any insignia or IDs on them at all.
Interesting.
And it truly struck me this week that the Packers were trying to go covert and not be terribly noticeable if they could help it.
Going incognito. Well,
yep.
Let's discuss some players here.
There you go.
Starting
enough
with
of
the
that speculation.
Let's start with the inside linebacker position, an obvious need for the Packers, and let's start in particular with Denzel Perryman. One, because he's a good player, but also because I've heard he's dealing with an injury this week, but I have very few details about it. What's the latest on Denzel Perryman?
Likewise. He will not be playing in the game.
Are you sure about that?
That injury, and I'm not saying that it's a fake injury or whatever, but they have been very quiet, and it's hard to tell how serious it is or not, Brian, because they are very cautious at these kinds of games because of insurance issues and such. Mm-hmm. That if there are people that have already gone home and there are people that are here but won't play with things that if this were an NFL season or even a college season, they'd tape it up, they'd give them a shot, and they'd be out there. And so, I'm not going to read too much into it. I think the biggest news, and many of us suspected this, I hoped otherwise because I think he is a potentially dominant kind of athlete when he gets out on the field between his athleticism and his attitude. I really do think he's the best linebacker that Miami has had since a guy named Ray Lewis came through town.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something that you can't overlook here, and that was what we saw on Tuesday this year at the weigh-in. And that is the fact that not only is Denzel Perryman not 6 feet tall, he's not even 5'11".
Wow.
He measured in at 5'10" and 5/8", a nice, robust 242 pounds, and he only had 31 1/4-inch long arms. Doesn't mean he can't play in the NFL, but it certainly isn't a ringing endorsement that he fits your ideal profile, which, if at all possible, most teams, and Ted Thompson in particular, will stick to the profile range for a size on a guy. Let me just give you a contrast, because this is somebody that I think the Packers would be more interested in at this stage of the game this year and would likely play on the inside. And that was, again, for the South team, and that would be number 42. I'll give you numbers today as we talk about some of these guys on the assumption that diehard cheesehead football Packer fans, many of them will watch the the Senior Bowl in some way, shape, or form. Stephon Anthony from Clemson.
Okay.
Played inside linebacker. He has good athleticism. I think he could probably play outside. But this is more what the league and Ted Thompson and his crew would be looking for, as opposed to a guy who's 5'10" and a half. Anthony is 6'2" and 3/8" pound height. He weighs 245 pounds. He has hands that are over 10 inches in spread, and his arms are 32 1/8" long. I think even though Perryman might be a slightly more, I'm going to say, productive athlete at the inside linebacker position, I think Stephon Anthony would appeal more to most of the NFL and the Green Bay Packers in particular.
That's interesting. Do you think he would go higher in the draft?
I think yes. I think so. They could very well both be in the same category.
Yeah.
They both might go as high as the third round. But, again, I think push come to shove, more teams. All right, let me phrase it this way. They make both go in the third round around the same area, but which would, to me, be the second half of the third round.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say with 32 teams in the NFL, maybe 10 of them might be looking at Perryman and overlook his size limitations.
Yep.
Probably 20 to 25 teams would be looking at Stephon Anthony because he fits the size criteria.
Fair enough. Let me pick your brain about this player. Washington's Haole Kikaha. This came from the NFL Network's Charles Davis on yesterday's broadcast. I'm sure you probably didn't have a chance to watch because you were there in person. But he was just speculating if Kikaha could play inside linebacker. And I was wondering if he maybe had the athleticism to do that. Nobody's saying he's going to, but Charles Davis was speculating about it.
Well, I think that kind of speculation is warranted on many prospects, Brian. I'm surprised. I personally think it's a lazy habit to take a look. And this is, I think this is worth talking about for a couple of minutes, because in this game, now I'm digressing, but don't worry, I'm not going to miss your point and come back to it. But on the rosters for the Senior Bowl that are handed out here, there are 7 outside linebackers listed for the two teams, 4 for the South and 3 for the North.
Okay.
And I am here to tell you that all 7 of those listed outside linebackers played with their hand on the ground last year in college football.
Yeah.
Every one of them was a undersized, you know, from an NFL standpoint, every one of them was an undersized defensive end. So there's a lot of work and a lot of teaching going on here. And when it comes to the game tomorrow, a position of scrutiny and probable weakness, given that this is a pass-happy game because it's hard to establish a running game with 3 days of practice, outside linebacker. But no, I think Kikaha, who looked, by the way, like the Greek god at the weigh-in in his underwear, sculpted body, good-looking athlete, and he moves well on the field, maybe a little stiff. I think it's kind of lazy for people and NFL personnel people who take a look at these college defensive ends and who are undersized by NFL standards and immediately slot them in as outside linebackers. I personally think there should be more of the experiments that go on with moving some of these guys inside. And the best example I can give anyone would be Teddy Bruschi, the former New England Patriot. He was a pass rush defensive end in college, and he was too short. He was just over 6'1". And his arms weren't incredibly long. And a lot of people blew him off because they really didn't think he was quick enough or the right size frame to even convert to outside linebacker. New England took him, I want to say, 3rd or 4th round. And they immediately said, put him in an inside linebacker. We can develop this guy. And in my opinion, it's going to be close. Teddy Bruschi developed into maybe an almost Hall of Fame inside linebacker.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of comparisons to Carl Bradford and Teddy Bruschi and what the Packers are trying to do there. I'm not saying Carl Bradford's going to be Teddy Bruschi, but obviously this will be a big offseason for that player.
Correct.
It was basically a redshirt year in the pros for him.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. And Brian, I expect anybody to do this, but when an opportunity like this comes up, I have to bring it up because I'm wrong so often, like everybody in this business. I will point out, if you go back and look at my stuff from last year's pre-draft and after the Packers drafted him, I was pounding the table that Bradford looked more like an inside linebacker than an outside linebacker to me.
Yeah. He did occasionally, I know on third downs, play inside linebacker at Arizona State. So it's not like it was totally out of, character. He did have a little experience there. But anyway, talking about this year's prospects, I'm interested in two defensive linemen. One, Danny Shelton, because of the report from WalterFootball.com that the Packers were observed meeting with him. So I guess I'll start with, why would the Packers meet with Shelton when they have little chance to land him? A guy who's projected top 10. And then I have another defensive lineman to ask you after you address Shelton.
Okay, two things. Let me answer that question quick because I think it's an easy one.
Okay.
Let's first say that with the personnel staffs that are here and the number of people that means 32 teams all have 10-plus people here pounding the ground. They all have a little questionnaire sheet that they try to get filled out with the players. That's why you will see a lot of teams talking to a lot of players down here, even if it's just for 5 minutes to ask them 25 questions after the practice. Yep. So I'm not knocking Walter Football. I think it's a good site and it's free of charge. So, I think that's great for all of us, like our site is. But I would say to you, Brian, that there are websites that spend an awful lot of time trying to discern what teams are talking to what players.
Yep.
And my comment is, I don't go by that too much because an awful lot of teams talk to an awful lot of players down here.
Yeah.
But I would say to you that the Packers should have their files up to date on a Danny Shelton for a couple of reasons. He is one of those unique athletes. He reminds me, and I'm not alone on this comparison. I'm not even going to claim I thought of it first. People in the business will tell you that when you look at Danny Shelton, comparisons, at least at this early stage, are fair to make about his potential using names like Vince Wilfork and Haloti Ngata. And in my opinion, when you're talking interior defensive linemen, you can't give higher praise than to bring up those two guys' names when you talk about a prospect. So I would remind Packer fans that they need to be reminded, you are right, Brian. The chances of Danny Shelton being there when the Packers pick are slim and none, and Slim just left on a bus for Phoenix. But by the same token, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You have to do due diligence with the size of your staffs. You have to do due diligence and slot these stars and know what you can about them, both from a personality and a how would they fit our system, just in case something like that kind of slip would take place. So that's my answer to you. He's that good. He is probably the best NFL-ready prospect at this game. And obviously, I don't think you have to be a genius to say that it might not be the Packers' top need. But if you're a skeptic like me and don't think the Packers are going to have a whole lot of interest bringing BJ Raji back.
Yeah.
You look at their roster, and beyond LaTroy, I'm going to do French on you because I'm a Frenchman, LaTroy Guillon,
yep.
You look past him, and there's not much there on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny Shelton is BJ Raji on his best day.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm totally agree with you. But the other defensive lineman that I was wondering about here, Preston Smith of Mississippi State, it caught my eye this season, and you know, little bit of practice that I catch on broadcast here on the NFL Network. He seems like the type of player that can be a five technique end in the base defense, and then can slide inside on passing downs. And I would venture to say he's probably a day two prospect. What's your thought on Preston Smith?
I like Preston Smith as a football player. My concern is that somewhere when you look at his talent level and his skill level, and then you look at his physical size, this may sound strange when I say this, but he's kind of a tweener. And I say that because in the NFL, and I think Packer fans have seen this a little bit, when you look at, and I'm not saying he's been a bad player when he's been healthy,
mm-hmm.
but to me, Dayton Jones is similar to this. But Preston Smith, at 6'4" and a half, a little bit more than that, not quite 6'5",
yep.
only weighs 270 pounds. And he is not an explosively quick player at that weight. So I would say to you, Brian, when I look at that, how many defensive linemen in a 3-4 scheme or a 2-5 scheme or a 2-4 scheme or whatever Tom Capers comes up with,
yep.
how many of those guys only weigh 270 pounds
yeah.
going up against, you know, the size of the NFL defensive lineman? And then conversely, the other side of the equation is, he's not an explosive pass rusher.
Okay.
I personally see him still needing to add at least another 10 to 15 pounds somehow without losing all of his quickness.
Yep.
But more of a fit for a 4-3.
Okay.
I personally don't see him as big time Packer prospect for their scheme unless they change things.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, if they took him in the third round, I would be disappointed,
yeah.
given that I don't see him as a really good fit and nothing different from what they already have a reasonable amount of.
Yeah, okay. Very interesting to get your thoughts on that. We've talked a lot about defense, so turn our attention to offense here. Wisconsin native and tackle Rob Havenstein. With the Packers, Brian Bulaga is an unrestricted free agent. I suppose it makes sense that the Packers could be interested in a true right tackle should Bulaga walk away. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree with you there. And I think Havenstein should be a player that the Packers are looking at. And I can tell you the buzz is that Rob greatly enhanced his pro prospect status at this game.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it. I don't think he can play any place but right tackle on a regular basis. He certainly isn't the quickest guy,
mm-hmm.
but he's long, he's steady, he has some athleticism. I am sure he can be coached up. I see him as being the next in the line of, you know, two drafts ago, we had Ricky Wagner. And Ricky Wagner, who played left tackle primarily for the Badgers, is a right tackle in the NFL.
Yep.
And he earned himself a starting job this past season with the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Then last year, you had Ryan Groy. And Ryan was a guard/tackle. And Ryan floated around. And he got drafted and floated around a little bit. But I know it was a train wreck of sorts. But he ended up being a starting left guard for the Bears for the last month and a half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I think Havenstein will be the next Badger to go somewhere between the third and the fifth round and will get a serious shot at a right tackle position. And I think we'll have a decent chance of making a team and eventually having a chance to start. I think he's a little bit long and lean for the normal Packer stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, most of the time, Ted sticks to those. But he certainly, I think he could come to the NFL and play for the Green Bay Packers. I sat with him for about 20 minutes on Monday night at media night, talking with him one-on-one. And he's got his degree. He is a communications major. And after 20 minutes of talking with him one-on-one, I think he should have been in law school. he's smooth. He's cautious with what he says. I think he's genuine. And by the way, just as a side story, it'll be quick, Rob Havenstein was the guy who, after talking with the other seniors, he's the guy who basically went to Barry Alvarez's office and asked Barry Alvarez to coach the team for the bowl game.
Interesting. I think it's interesting, too, that now that you mentioned that, the Packers never do go for that long offensive tackle. They go with those 6'4", 6'5", guys. It's amazing how they really stay away from the 6'7", 6'8", guys.
Yep. Well, just like the defensive line.
Yeah, Brian. Exactly.
They stay away from the really long guys over there as well.
Yeah, although saying a year ago that they wanted to get longer on defense and never really did.
Well, that was Turgovic, not Ted.
Yeah, true.
We
know who makes the decisions in the draft now. Tight end position. We talked about Perryman before, so let's talk about another Miami product, Clive Walford. I've heard he's done good things there. Can he be the type of seam-stretching tight end in the NFL?
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Okay.
I think he is a really good all-around tight end. Maybe the best in this draft. And he, he will block. He can run a pattern. He's got good hands like many college guys. And you hope that this, changes. He has mental lapses and drops a few balls that he should not. And he has had some fumbling issues. But Clive Walford, 6'4", 254 pounds, hands measuring 10.5 inches, and 34-inch long arms. Nice numbers for a stereotype NFL tight end. He can stretch the field a little bit over the middle, but I certainly wouldn't call him, a deep threat tight end, but I don't know that that's really what the Packers are looking at. I think they would be looking at someone who can block for them when they need it, but by the same token, can get out there and be that big target that either opens up the middle like so many tight ends do against them, or clear out the middle a little bit. Clive Walford, third or fourth round, I think would be a good addition for the Packers if they're looking to supplement their tight end core. Another kid that I like down here who they could get a little bit later, who blocks well and catches well. And I think this guy could be a little bit more athletic Tom Crabtree type player.
Okay.
Which to me, I think would be of interest to them because I think Richard Rodgers is going to stretch the field for them. I think where the Packers were a little bit shy last year at tight end, in my opinion, was when they got down in the red zone, more particularly in the goal line area, like against Seattle, where they looked absolutely futile in their attempts to punch it in.
Mm-hmm.
There's a kid here, number 86, for the North squad named Nick Boyle, played at Delaware. He's a Joyzy boy. And I did also have a chance to sit and talk with him. I think he's a legit prospect that you can wait and get to the third day of the draft, round four or five, maybe even round five. And Nick Boyle is another guy that has the measurable, 6'4.5", 267 pounds, 10 5/8 inch hands, 33 3/8 inch long arms. And a couple of times in practice, Brian, he was at least a 24-inch vertical leap up in the air, extending those long arms, making a catch. I personally think Nick Boyle, about round 4 or 5, should be of interest to the Packers, because in addition to being an offensive weapon, I personally think from watching him and talking with him, he's hardcore. He's a football man.
Okay.
You know, he wants to coach college football when he's done playing.
Okay.
And I think he could move some bodies at the goal line to make some space for Eddie Lacy.
You just bring up, and I hate to digress here, but this is kind
of, come on, it's fun to digress,
stuck in my craw all year. You mentioned about Richard Rodgers potentially being a seam stretcher, and he was a good receiver this year, but he didn't stretch the seam. I personally wonder, why did the Packers even have him at 270 pounds? I feel like he was a poor run blocker this year, and he could be more of an offensive threat if maybe they shed some weight and got a little more quickness.
It could be, Brian. I think I will say this. You have to be patient with Richard Rodgers. He contributed more than I thought he would as a rookie, because you have to go back and take a look at the fact that between coaching changes and system changes, his career at California was almost a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this kid was bounced. You know, one as a freshman coming in, he weighed 260. Then he lost the kind of weight you're talking about and weighed 240 under Jeff Tedford and was primarily a receiving guy. Then Tedford gets fired. They bring in the new coach, and they bulk him back up and don't throw to him very much.
Yep.
That was a too good of a talent to pass up pick by the Packers, and we're going to develop him.
Yep.
I would say to you, give the Packers another year or two to figure out what's best for Rodgers and his productivity, and we're just going to have to be patient. You're going to look at the guy and you're going to say, man, he should be out there catching 60 balls already.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. He's got a lot of work to do to catch up for what he didn't get done in college. So be patient.
Yeah, I do think the talent is there, though. I mean, they talk about him having some of the best hands on the team, and I agree. I mean, from what you saw out there, he's got that going for him. So
yeah, he's got the big hands. But in principle, I do agree with you, though, by the way.
Yeah.
I think he's better suited at 250 and bring in a guy like Boyle, who's 265 and blocks.
We got it, I think, here. Let's make Richard Rodgers the receiver and bring in a nice blocking tight end like Boyle. I'm all up for that. Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Let's see that. Okay, last thing here before I let you go. I have an observation on wide receivers here at the Senior Bowl, and you can tell me how accurate I am. It seems like there's two types of wide receivers at the Senior Bowl. Speedsters that the only thing they can do is run a go route, and slot jitterbugs. That seems like the only thing that's there, and there's no in between. No big targets, and maybe you could give me some underrated guys, but what's up with these one-note players at the wide receiver position?
Oh, I would say to you, perhaps you're being a bit harsh here based on the fact that all the NFL Network feeds you is a canned show with highlights. They don't do live, you know, they're not showing you live practices anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
In case Packer fans haven't figured that out. Don't ask me why. You know, why they have to condense 2-hour practices into 1-hour highlight films so that they can rush back to the 15th replay of the Seattle Green Bay game for the week.
Yeah.
I don't get. but then again, I don't get NFL Network. But I think you're being a bit harsh, Brian. I really think there is quite a bit of wide receiver talent. Not, you know, in this game, not if you're looking for the next superstar wide receiver.
Yep.
You know, they don't come anymore to the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
A, because a lot of them are underclassmen.
Yeah.
And B, because the really elite ones, the agents don't want to risk them.
Yeah, okay.
But I would say to you, there are some talented kids that can do more than the NFL network would tell you they can. And, you know, I think there are some excellent guys here. Packer fans, don't cringe when I say this. If the Packers decide that they cannot afford to make Randall, you know, to make a guy named Cobb the next, you know, big time paid player a la Jordy Nelson.
Yep.
And they're going to have to, you know, the pattern to me of the Packers seems to be, we spend big bucks and re-sign one guy, and then for a couple of years we got to let guys walk.
Yep.
Like Jennings and Jones.
Yep, yep.
And then we sign Jordy and keep him. If they're looking for that explosive smaller guy with quickness, you got a couple here that are fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Lockett from Kansas State is an explosive jitterbug player with return ability deluxe. Philip Dorsett from Miami, who no one, including Philip, can figure out why the University of Miami was not able to utilize him more and get him the ball more often. That was the topic at the first press conference. I directed it to Philip, and he gave a grimace kind of grin and said that it looked like his comment was he had already been in discussion with the Jaguars coaches at this game, and they were going to find more ways to get the ball into his hands.
Yeah.
Or you've got the long, lean, striding James Jones kind of player like Tony Lippett from Michigan State, I call him Daddy Long Legs. He can really stretch the field, but you can't throw it to him 80 times because they'll break him in half like a wishbone.
Okay.
And then you've got Sammy Coates from Auburn. He would drive Packer fans crazy. He's a good kid. He's got his degree. He came to this game despite his agent telling him he didn't need to.
Mm-hmm.
He's done everything the coaches asked at Auburn and Alabama, but he'll drop way too many balls to keep Packer fans happy.
Yeah.
But you have guys like, if you know, Ted Thompson kind of guy, if he lasts long enough, I think the potentially most talented receiver here is number 15 for the South. His name is Desmond Lewis. He played at Central Arkansas. And you can tell he played at Central Arkansas because after making one great play, he'll run into his own tight end on the next play. So, you know, it's the kind of guy that you talked about it before. You have to redshirt. But, you know, you got to love a guy that's 6'3½", 215, and has 32¾-inch long arms. And, you know, so I think you're being a bit harsh. I get what you're saying, but don't believe it. There are some guys here. Here, I'll give you a late pick for the Packers if they have to be looking for a wide receiver. A late add to the South roster here this week, Ronnell Hall from UCF, Central Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little bit over 6 feet tall, 193 pounds, smallish hands, but you know what, Brian? I have found the last few years, you check this out, there's an awful lot of receivers in college football that go to the NFL that people will tell you one of the best things they do is they're good at catching the ball, and yet they have smallish hands.
Mm-hmm.
You check it out, and it's amazing. His arms are a little over 30 inches. Ronnell Hall is fast. Ronnell Hall is quick. He's not a polished guy yet. He can get better. One of the things that I like best about him is he is a what-do-you-need-me-to-do coach attitude. When injuries hit UCF this year, he willingly moved to running back for three games.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't there for show. He carried the ball.
Yeah.
And he still had a 50-plus catch season. I think he has looked good down here. And is one, because let's face it, we know no matter who stays and who goes, even with three redshirts coming back to the Packer roster probably at wide receiver from this year's draft, you know darn well if they lose one or two guys, they're going to draft one or two at the wide receiver slot. So interesting guys here, I think.
Cool. Paul, thanks so much. Thank you for dropping some knowledge bombs on us and me. Appreciate it as always. Enjoy the game on Saturday.
I will.
All right.
To me, it's important.
But thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you again, of course.
Well, of course, draft season's coming. My pleasure. Hello and goodbye to everybody up in Cheesehead Land and Wisconsin. I miss you in the snow for about 2 weeks a year.
Oh, yeah, around Christmas, right?
You got it, buddy. Yeah.
Okay. Take care, Paul.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Yep. Thanks for having
me. See ya. Paul Guillemette of the Great Blue North Draft Report joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well. I appreciate it. Really, really is glad to have him. Give him a follow on Twitter, at PigskinPaul. Like I said, gbnreport.com. Go check out his work there. He files daily reports from the Senior Bowl. Go do that. Now it's time for Packers news of the day. Something that happened on Wednesday that we have yet to talk about on this show. As you might recall, it's now 2 days old, but head coach Mike McCarthy had a press conference, the season-ending press conference scheduled for Wednesday. It was canceled or postponed. And the immediate reason wasn't known why, and it became apparent late in the day. The brother of head coach Mike McCarthy, Joe McCarthy, passed away this week. You can imagine how tough that would be on the head coach of the Green Bay Packers just days after one of the worst defeats in the history of the Green Bay Packers franchise. This happens, and it happens to a 47-year-old brother, a guy who is not exactly, where you thought he's just passing away from natural causes. This is unfortunate that this definitely happened. Our condolences go out to head coach Mike McCarthy, and now we understand why the press conference was postponed. If and when it's rescheduled, don't know yet. Obviously, probably waiting here a few days for the funeral to happen, etc. But it's a shame. And again, condolences to Mike McCarthy on that. But other Packers news happening in the past 24 hours or so. Some news in the coaching ranks. We have, first of all, the Packers denying the St. Louis Rams an interview with Packers quarterback coach Alex Van Pelt, who the Rams were interested in bringing in for their vacant offensive coordinator position. If you follow the Green Bay Packers closely, you know that this is not an uncommon practice. They have reportedly denied permission for almost every assistant coach on the staff. A lot has to do with the length of their contracts. And we're going to bring this up in a second here. If these guys are under contract like Van Pelt apparently is, the weird thing is you can never... this information isn't published anywhere. Like, you can find information about player contracts out there. You can't find any information about coach contracts. You never know quite how long they're signed for. And sometimes they end up extending them and you don't even know about that. So a little bit different, a little bit tough to sometimes wrap your head around when we're talking about coaching and their length of their contracts and stuff like that. But if they're under contract, Packers, have in the past denied permission to teams about interviewing. NFL ruled you can't prevent them if it's for a head coaching job. Nobody on the Packers staff apparently up for any head coaching jobs in the NFL. Pretty much all filled by now anyway. But the other news, though, is that reportedly, apparently, and it's nothing's official yet, but offensive line assistant Steve Marshall is apparently going to take a job on the Jets staff. This according to a report from Adam Kaplan of ESPN yesterday, and we posted on it here at Cheesehead TV. Marshall was the assistant to James Campen this year, and what we have to assume is that Marshall indeed signed only a one-year contract with the Packers. Remember, he just came here this past season. He's only spent one season in Green Bay and already leaving, making you think that he only signed a one-year contract, allowing him to leave. And I guess I would assume that maybe he's getting the head, not head, but the primary, you know, offensive line job with the Jets, whereas he was just an assistant in Green Bay. But I mean, considering the job the Packers offensive line did this season, kudos to Steve Marshall and not just, I mean, James Campen as well, who's, you know, received criticism in the past for, you know, underachieving Packers offensive lines in recent years, but definitely not the case in 2014, one of the best units on the Packers roster. They were good, and they looked to be good for quite a while, especially if Brian Bulaga comes back here, but they've got a good core to build around regardless. So, interesting about that Marshall leaving. Part of the reason you think that they might have brought Marshall in too, he had a connection. He was actually the offensive line coach at the University of Colorado in 2011 and 2012, and that's when David Bakhtiari was in college. So worked with him in college, worked with him this year with the Packers, and now moving on, apparently. We're still waiting to get official word, but I have no reason to believe this report is not true. The day ahead in the world of the Green Bay Packers on Friday here, not much going on. Pro Bowl practice taking place in Arizona. Six Packers players are out there. Wide receivers Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, linebacker Clay Matthews, fullback John Kuhn, offensive lineman Josh Sinn, and cornerback Sam Shields, all out in Arizona. I know Scott, the practice is in Scottsdale today, Scottsdale Community College, so they're taking part in that. That's about the only thing that we know is going to happen on the Packers calendar today. That, you know, so many times there's things that it just come out of the blue in the world of the Green Bay Packers, like this coaching news and stuff like that. You can't really predict it, but Packers players getting ready for the Pro Bowl this weekend, if you're interested in that. Sometimes I wonder why I even say this when nobody even cares about the Pro Bowl, and it's me included. I'm not going to be watching unless I just happen to be. It's on TV and I'm at somebody's house or something like that where I don't control the channel changer. I would give it no more than a moment's notice on my own. So, but anyway, this will be the last episode of Railbird Central for a week. The reason being, I will be at the site of the Super Bowl all next week. So I'm personally excited about that. I know it's disappointing for our listeners that you won't have any new content for a week. Hopefully, I can make it up to you. If you follow along with CheeseheadTV.com, I'll have some exclusive interviews and articles written there. Hopefully, I can get some audio and bring it back for the following week and share it here at Cheesehead TV, as I have access to the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots. Not looking forward to a week of talk on Deflategate, but hopefully we can, you know, talk to some of these Seahawks players who faced the Packers in the NFC Championship game, get some thoughts there. And so anyway, exclusive Cheesehead TV coverage at the Super Bowl next week. So sorry, no Railbird Central, but we will be bringing you some exclusive content regardless here at Cheesehead TV. So, folks, my call to action, and I do this occasionally, in addition to giving Pigskin Paul a follow on Twitter, please do that. If you have not before, give us a rating on iTunes. If you appreciate the job we do here at Cheesehead TV, we are subscription free. We are not behind a paywall. This is 100% free content. Do us this one small thing. Give us a rating on iTunes. It helps get the word out. It helps when people are looking, you know, just who stumble across Cheesehead TV. They see the high rating. They see people are listening to it. It helps us get the word out a lot. go do that if you haven't already. We would appreciate if you do so. But that'll do it for today's episode and for the next week here at Cheesehead DV's Railbird Central. We'll see you folks. Normally, we're on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays live at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, but not till, a week from Monday will be the next one. So we'll see you later, folks. On behalf of Jamie Snow and Alex Talich, I'm Brian Kirivu. I leave you today with a song called Colliding by String Cheese Incident on Psi Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.